Ephesians, it is equipped.
When each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love.
Good morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us this morning, my wife told me I need to stop saying tickle pink, so I'll change that this morning. We want you to know, if you're visiting with us this morning, that we are delighted and excited that you've decided to worship with us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ in spirit and in truth. And as we often say, our doors swing on welcome hinges, and we welcome all to worship with us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ. And to the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, it's so good to see your faces. My young people, it's good to see you again. All of my people who are under the weather, it's good to see you again. And all of the people who are here this morning, it's good to see you all again. Let us remember to keep the main thing the main thing. And what that means for us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And as we do that, we continue to love one another as Christ also loved us. Have a will and a desire for God's word and a mind to work to get God's business done in his kingdom. And no matter what, through the ups and downs, the battles we face, I want you to know that I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. As you all know, and you've looked around here lately, the South Fayette Church of Christ is growing. God has been absolutely good to the South Fayette Church of Christ. Amen? Amen. When you think about this pandemic that we are in and dealing with COVID and all of the challenges that a congregation face, God has truly blessed this congregation. And I want you to know that I want to encourage you all that when we grow, there will be challenges. And so this morning, I want to speak on the subject matter, challenges for a growing congregation, just to keep us in the mindset to be on the lookout for the devil who prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking those whom he can devour. This lesson will be very quick. Three quick points. Just want you to know, very quick. I mean, maybe 5-minute lesson, maybe. But I want to encourage you next week, though, to invite every person you know that you can to next Sunday's service. I've been working on this sermon, and I want you to tell them that the preacher and our church is giving away free gift. He's giving away free gift, and you have to come. Invite them and tell them, I mean everybody, young people, invite them, because the sermon that I'm going to preach next week, I guarantee you, the 2 hours that I'll be up here, I promise you that somebody will be encouraged. So make sure that you do that. Invite as many people as you can for next Sunday. It will be a wonderful message. Now, as a congregation grows, it's likely to face various challenges. The devil, above all, would certainly love to hinder us from the work in God's kingdom. And if you didn't know, the devil does not take breaks. He does not retire. He does not quit. He is relentless in making sure we do not continue in the work of the Lord. And one of the things and one of the ways he does this, it is not always evident. He doesn't always do it where it's like, oh, I can tell that something is going on. He has a great way of being a deceiver. Over in 2 Corinthians 11:13, it says, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And so I think it's important for us to make sure that we know that the deceiver is out there. You know that he's busy. And when I say the devil is busy, I don't mean he's busy because he has a lot to do. I'm saying he's busy because he's doing a lot to keep us from being what we need to be in Christ. And he usually does these things in a very harmless way. Simple diversions that he can lead us astray. And that's why as a growing congregation, as you look around, we must therefore take the admonition to hold fast. Let's not get complacent, because the one thing that I know that the devil uses against his people, God's people, is the word comfortable. The moment that we get comfortable, the moment that we are relaxed in our walk is when he attacks, because our guard is down. So we must hold fast. Revelation 3:11 says, I'm coming soon. Hold fast to what you have so that no one can seize your crown. God has blessed us to be in this position, and we have to make sure that we are not allowing anyone to seize our crown. And we must be able to accept any challenge, saints, that the devil throws our way. Now, one of the things that I know is that our efforts have to be steadfast. And know that all the things that we do, all the work that's being done, we are blessed to have wonderful elders. We're blessed to have wonderful deacons. We're blessed to have men with a mind to work, women who are willing to teach the other women and the children here at the South Fair Church of Christ. We have been blessed with young people, saints. We've been blessed with wonderful families. We have to make sure that we stay steadfast in this. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the Lord will show you that your labor is not in vain. So in this study this morning, I want to look at some challenges that a congregation must meet and overcome in order to serve the Lord faithfully. Now, you know that our 2020 theme is a mind to work. And so in order to have a mind to work, we must remember what that work is. Not just coming to church, but remembering what it is that we are responsible for. And one of those things is to equip the saints for ministry, for edification. We are to provide spiritual growth for each member. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And we have to do this. We have to have that mindset. That's why the scripture reading, in order for us to grow, if you want the secret for us to grow and do it in a manner that's pleasing to God, it was the scripture that was read this morning in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. And it says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When you think about the Bible within itself, the whole theme, if you really look at it, is all about love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Christ loved us so much that he was willing to go to the cross and die for us. Love your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Not only as you love yourself, but love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love the word of God. Love sharing. Love caring. It's all about love. And if we have that mindset as a growing congregation, never getting complacent or comfortable when it comes to loving one another. That's why I say keeping the main thing is loving one another as Christ also loved us. And so as we continue, we will grow if we keep the love. Thus we are to provoke one another to love and good works. And that's the very reason why we assemble together. That's why we come. We don't come here as a checklist type of thing. We come here because we love the Lord our God. We love coming together and singing praises. You know, when we come here in the morning time, you know, sometimes it's true. It's true. We drag our feet. We barely are singing out. But this morning, I felt it this morning. We were singing out. That's the way it ought to be. When we come together, we ought to love singing praises unto our God. We ought to sing out the walls. The windows ought to be shaking. We ought not just be like singing very long. No. We ought to be singing out because we're blessed. God is good to us. And when we assemble together, we have to remember Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, and let us consider how to stir one another up, right? To love and good works, not neglecting to meet. This is the meeting place where we come. And when you have a growing congregation, many people feel like they can fall in the background. Oh, there's no need. There's five people here, but I have to show up. But when we have 500, I can just fade into the background. But we have to be here and understand to encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. It's important for each of us to do what we can to help each other grow. We can't just leave that responsibility to the elders and to the deacons and to those who are able to teach and speak well in the preacher. It is our responsibility. And one of the things that happens when a church grows, people fall in the background. The more people it is, the less that I have to do. I've seen it time and time again. But in order for us to continue to grow, and I just don't want you to think about in terms numerically, I'm talking about spiritually, we have to sound forth the gospel of Christ. One of the things that we addressed this morning, it just seems like I don't know that Brother Sonny is in my computer or on my lessons or what he's doing, but we talked about evangelism. And evangelism is an important part of the work that we do. And the challenge of a growing congregation is that, oh, well, we're growing, somebody else can do it. Oh, Chris can do that, right? Brother Clark can do that. Brother Sonny can do that. Brother Kirk can do that. They can do all of that. I'll just fall in the background. But in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, it says, like the church in Thessalonica, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not to say anything. One of the challenges of a growing congregation is people don't want to do what they need to do outside of the church. See, the way that we grow is through individual and collective efforts. We got to sow the seed. And we can't be afraid to speak the truth in love. One of the things that I do know, and one of the challenges, is not so much that we can't speak or we're afraid to speak. We don't know what to speak. And the reason why we don't know is because we're not in the Word of God. You can't share something that you don't know. And part of the problem is not that we are afraid, it is the ignorance and the lack of knowledge that we have to share with other people. And so if we want to grow as a growing congregation, again, it's not I fall in the background and when I go to church, I'll learn something. Individually, you got to get in the Word of God. Individually, you got to be confident enough for what you do know and what you have read that you share that. You don't have to share everything, but you can share what you do know. And we do know Christ died. We do know he came. We do know the church that he established. We are familiar with what the work of the church is. We are familiar of why we meet on the first day of the week, why we give, why do we take communion, why we sing, why we preach, why we don't use musical instruments. Those are the things, the core things that we need. But what happens is the congregation grows. It's somebody else's responsibility. As our building fills up, we should not slack off. We shouldn't step back, right? And what ends up happening is we neglect to meet together because now that's somebody else's responsibility. Let me ask you this. When you go to work, right, do you say those people at work will be all right because they have many employees, they'll be fine? Do you do that? Do you call in and say, hey, listen, guys, I'm not coming in today. Y'all got plenty of folks that'll work for you, and I'll holler at you when I can. Y'all will be all right. We don't do that, right? We make sure that we're at that job and we're going to work whether we want to be there or not. And I think part of the problem is that immediate gratification that you get, your check, right? You get to continue to work and pay your bills. But we don't see it on the end of working for the Lord, right? Because you're not getting paid. And for most people, they need an incentive to meet together. But when you have a large congregation, what ends up happening is somebody else can do it. So what is it that we're doing? Are we spreading the gospel? We should be spreading the gospel to every single person that we can. And if each one of us is doing what we can to spread the gospel, I can guarantee you that we can change South Fayette. And we can go beyond that. We can change the county, the city, the state, the world. But we cannot get lackadaisical in this. And the other part about it is that we need to make sure that we're taking care of each other. We take up a collection every first day of the week, right? Concerning the saints to make sure that they have what they need. And part of that is so that the saints can focus on doing God's work. You can't focus on doing God's work if your light's off. You can't focus on doing God's work if your bills aren't paid. If you're having some financial troubles, if there are some other needs that need to be met, you can't focus on that. So we take up a collection so that the saints here at South Fayette Church of Christ can be busy doing God's work. 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, as you also are to do on the first day of every week, each of you to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so there will be no collection when I come. Listen, we have been so blessed financially here at South Fayette. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about it. When I started working, my first work, we had 10 people. My first work started with 10 people. I think maybe for the month, we may have brought in $2,000 for the month. And there are other churches who make less. But you think about the collection that we take up here weekly. We have been financially blessed. And so if there is no need locally here, we ought to be helping other saints meet their needs as well. And so what ends up happening is, when the money starts to grow at the local church, right, most people begin to think the only thing that's important is providing a place where people can simply meet from week to week. So all we have to do is keep the lights on. All we got to do is make sure that the building is functioning properly. But there are so many things that we can do with the resources that we have in order to sound forth God's word. But when a congregation grows, that money just sits and we're just going to take care of this. But what we should be doing is preparing ourselves to work. When we take up that collection, it's to prepare our minds to do the work of the Lord, taking those resources and using them properly for God's kingdom. I think that we can do all of these things and meet this challenge when we stay away from the second thing is pettiness. I think when a growing church begins to get big, you got to start living above pettiness. I've been into some congregations where churches have been hindered from their growth because of pettiness. When a church loses sight of their primary purpose, right? And our purpose is to spread the gospel. Our purpose is to come together to remember the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The purpose of us coming together is not for a social gathering. We don't come here to socialize. It's part of, and it's great that we get to see each other. I love to see the people talking together, people building relationships, right? Having long-lasting friendships and relationships. The young people are making friendships with those who are like-minded people, but we don't come here to rub elbows and make business decisions. We come here for the purpose of learning more about what God has to say on the matter and giving him glory for everything that he has done for us. And many churches fall victim when they get together. You got cliques, selfishness, gossip begins, right? All these things happening in a growing congregation. But we must make sure that we have a proper sense of proportion. So what ends up happening, the church grows, right? And then it becomes disastrous because what we end up doing with all the people that are here, we begin to major in minors. Minor problems become big issues. And we have to stay clear from that. But we must understand the largeness and the importance of our work compared to our personal problems. And what ends up happening with a growing congregation is, you got to remember, everything that was once on the outside is now coming on the inside. We once were on the outside too. And we all come with baggage. Some of us, you know, come with suitcases. Some come with a little larger chests. Some of us have those pods. I mean, it's just the truth. Right? We all come with different types of baggage. But at the end of the day, we can't allow that baggage, those personal problems, to become the focal point. We're going to have some issues. We're going to have some folks that we're going to deal with infidelity. We're going to deal with homosexuality. We're going to deal with promiscuity. We're going to deal with drug abuse. We're going to deal with all those things, because all those things are in the world. But we provide the spiritual hospital for them to come. And if the focus is all about God and what He has done for us, as we grow, we will never lose sight, and we will live above the pettiness. I want you to remember Paul's exhortation in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. He says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind, doing nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others, having this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." See, when you have an interest to make sure that your brother or sister is okay, you don't have time to gossip about that. When you remember that you once were in that same situation not too long ago, you don't have time to gossip about that. All because we're a growing congregation. Yes, we're financially doing well. Yes, you know, the preacher is awesome in the pulpit. It's not a reason for us to forget why we are here, and that's to put others above ourselves. If you think about it, a growing congregation of 500 people, 300 people, 200 people, 130 people, and all the concern is about my brother, what my sister needs, how I can help them, and if we're doing that back and forth, giving 100% to 100%, then we will grow spiritually. God will be pleased, and we can help others. It will sound forth based on what we do as believers and not what we say. And one of the ways we can beat that is showing that love. And the saddest thing I've ever seen is to see a congregation being hindered by pettiness, by gossip, have all the potential in the world. And yet so many of these congregations don't grow because of that. You know, one of the saddest things that I dealt with in preaching As a young minister was racism in the church. We got to live above the pettiness. What you know? Why are you inviting so many Latinos? Because we're in an area full of Latinos. So I'm going to preach and I'm going to teach to the dynamic that's around me. I've had individuals say, well, we want to hire you as a minister because our hopes is for you to bring in more African Americans. You got to live above the pettiness. You know, I often ask them, because it's been several times where this has happened. And I was a little discouraged, because I'm like, well, so let me ask you this. If I ministered like I've always done and two black people come, and 50 white people come, did I fail to do what God has called me to do? You know what they say? Well, beep, 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 beep. I know, that's all, folks. I'm out. Because you have the wrong mindset. And so with congregation growth, we're going to have different nationalities. We're going to have people from different walks of life with different experiences. And with the challenges, we got to live above feeling like we're better than everybody else. And what we must do is maintain the gratitude of our blessings. You want to overcome that? You got to maintain the gratitude of your blessings, because there's so much for us to be thankful for here at South Fayette. Again, our families, we have some beautiful families here. Man, we got the Brady Bunch here. We got the Porter family here. We got the Waltons here. You got families of 6, 7, 10, 11, you name it. We've been blessed. Yeah, the Cosbys, yes. We've been blessed. We've been blessed physically, right? Friends, young people. We have a plethora of young people. Babies, right? We've been blessed. We have our pillars here. We have our elders here. We have young families here. We got newlyweds here. We got families who are just starting to have babies here. And it's a blessing from God. We have our freedoms, jobs, careers. We have to start remembering as we grow, we can't get complacent, because we got to maintain a gratitude for what God is doing, not only for us as individuals, but us collectively. And we should never lose sight of that. And then when you think about it, as a congregation, we're free from turmoil. We don't have to worry about people standing outside with machine guns and machetes telling us whom and when we can serve, how loud we can sing, if we can read our Bibles. We got to have a gratitude for those blessings. And when you see them as a growing congregation, you'll never lose sight of the goal. This place is filled with love and unity. I've been to many places, numerically great, and they have a lot of people. But the phone call that I got from my brother Keith was the best phone call I could have ever received. But the blessings of the facility that we have, the people that we have. When I came here, and I don't mean to get on my soapbox, but everybody, to some degree, from wherever they could do, they came and helped. I think I got moved in probably maybe less than 2 hours, because the whole congregation came to help me move. Me and my wife had to move 5 times in 6 years because of pettiness. Not because of my incapabilities or my lack of love or my lack of dedication, because of pettiness. 5 times in 6 years. I had people come over to paint. I remember when I was sick. It has always been a blessing. And when you really have a gratitude for the congregation that you've been blessed to be a part of, when you face those challenges, you can continue to grow. It's not a white side and a black side. It's not a rich side or a poor side. It's just simply doing God's will. And I've been so blessed to be a part of it. I have gratitude like you cannot believe. I am so blessed that I said yes to this job. I've never met a group of people who have a love for their preacher, for their brother in Christ, like this church has shown me. When you do that, we have the great potential of growth. And when those challenges come, we have to have the right attitude of gratitude. I want you to know how often Paul exhorted the Colossians to be thankful. And we ought to be giving thanks each and every time for what we were able to do. We grew during COVID. Most people shut down. We grew during COVID. God continues to send men, women, families our way. We got to have the attitude of gratitude. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Abounding in thanksgiving, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Be thankful. You ought to be thankful. I know Brother Sonny talks about some of the things that he has to deal with in other places and other countries. We are blessed, saints, that we can worship together freely. And we ought to have an attitude of gratitude. And we ought to continue steadfastly in prayer for what God is doing at South Fayette. We are living in perilous times, and we all can agree with that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. We're going to have some challenges, saints. We are. But we have to be mindful of what we have been called to do. The purpose of why we come together. The reason why we sing. The reason why we take communion on the first day of the week. We have to be mindful of that, right? Because we have the spiritual blessings and the salvation in Christ and forgiveness of our sins and a peace of mind. And we have the love of God and the strength of the Holy Spirit and the hope of heaven. And let me tell you something. If a growing congregation continues to have that with all the difficulty, because we're going to have people who are going to be lovers of themselves. We're going to deal with people who are ungrateful. We're going to deal with heartless and unholy people because they're coming from the world. But it's our job as believers and as we grow is to continue to show that love, show that patience, show that zeal that we have for God. And if we do that, as our challenges, we will grow. There are many other challenges that congregations face. I've been to congregations, saints, where the roof leaks all the time. I've been to congregations where the air goes out, the heat doesn't work. I've been to congregations where everybody it's just a matter of time that they're just dying on the vine. They're just barely hanging on. Have a congregation of 20, and all 20 of them are above the age of 60. We have been blessed immensely here at the South Fayette Church of Christ. And as we grow, we're going to have those challenges. We're going to face those things. But let me tell you something. There are congregations that face persecution that we don't have to face. Natural calamities and devastations. We don't live in Tornado Alley. And so we don't have to worry about constantly tornadoes or hurricanes and things like that. We've been blessed, saints. But in most cases, with all those challenges, whether it's racism, whether it's financially, whether we're dealing with divorce in the church, whether we're dealing with broken homes in the church, we can overcome this if we remember first and foremost what our work is. What it is that we're supposed to be doing and having a mind to follow through with that. As we continue to grow, we won't deal with that because we'll live above pettiness. We'll live above all of those things that are against what God's will says. And then above all, we will maintain gratitude for our blessings. How good God has been. And with the will to do what the Lord desires, every single time we come together. Let me tell you something. Every time we come in this place, everybody in here ought to smile. Everybody in here ought to be thankful. Everybody in here ought to sing out. I don't care if you sound like a wounded mule or not. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter. We got to sing out. We'd be so concerned about what other folks think opposed to saying, I'm singing out with the voice that God gave me because of what he's done for me. We ought to leave all that foolishness at the door when we come to this place and come together to praise God. We got to live above the sense of pettiness that might drag us down. And Saints, I just want to encourage you to do your part, whatever that may be, however you can serve, whatever you can give. Today is the day where I want us to do our part to answer the prayer of Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. And to him, God be the glory in the church of Christ, Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I want you to know that you have an opportunity to be a part of God's family. And if you're here this morning and maybe you're visiting, not only can you be a part of God's family, I can let you know for a fact that you can be a part of the South Fayette family too. I can guarantee you that we're going to love on you. We're going to take care of you. I'm going to continue to preach till I'm blue in the face for us to remember what our work is. You can rest assured we do a good job of that here at South Fayette. I want you to know that we do a good job of living above pettiness here at South Fayette. I want you to know that we do a good job of taking care of one another, whether it's meal trains, whether it's phone calls, whether it's cards. We do a good job here at South Fayette. But my challenge for you here at South Fayette is for us to no longer just do a good job. Let us go above and beyond to do an amazing job, not for me, not for Keith, not for the elders or the deacons, but for the glory of God. And if you're here and you want to be a part of that by putting Christ on first in baptism or placing membership here, you can do so this morning. And if you are a Christian and you've been battling with some of these things that I discussed personally, then here is the place to get it done. If you have an ankle injury, you go to the doctor. If you have a headache, you take aspirin. If you're having some aches and pains, you put some icy hot on it. But if you're spiritually going through those aches and pains, if you're spiritually broken, you're spiritually injured, here is the spiritual hospital and the place and the time to be healed. And if your desire is to be healed, to put Christ on in baptism, maybe you need the prayers of the church, please come now as together we stand and sing.